We started the day with word that just after midnight, PG&E did declare Chapter 11 bankruptcy. As expected, they were able to do it as of this morning, and they waited until just after midnight to do that. And we've been talking some this morning. We'll continue to talk this hour about what that bankruptcy means for us as consumers, what it means to us as fire survivors and litigants in many cases, and what it will mean for the company itself and its reorganization and survival in the future. So all of those big questions for us right now. We're tracking down Assemblymember Chris Holden, who is, and he's with us at this hour. Assemblyman Holden, good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be with you.
And I want to mention, too, for those who don't know, Chris is also the chairman of the Utility and Energy Commission. So not a surprise this morning, I suppose, the filing of bankruptcy by PG&E.
No, it's not. It's disappointing, but it's not a surprise.
And so you are, as we said, the chairman of the Utility and Energy Commission, and it's an interesting piece of timing, don't you think, Chris, that you're meeting next Wednesday, and one of the things on your docket is to go over a yearly review of the California Public Utilities Commission.
Yes, actually, we meet tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Very good.
It'll be tomorrow, yes.
And, very good.
And it is timely in the sense that we are charged to oversee the PUC and do an annual review, and part of our review this year will be looking at implementation of SB 901, the legislation that we passed last year to address the issues of wildfires in California and
yes.
Utilities.
Yes, and will that include what I understand to be a kind of a 12-week gap in that legislation that would be about the time that the campfire broke out?
Well, we're looking at the full scope of implementation in terms of where the PUC has charge over the utilities and reviewing their resiliency plans and making sure that those are reviewed and approved in a timely way, and that as the regulator that they're meeting their obligations and doing everything that they're supposed to do in providing oversight to the utilities.
Yeah, and one of the big questions, Chris, is beyond the far-reaching implications of the bankruptcy itself, what does this mean in terms of PG&E's, your plans, the legislature's plans for PG&E in terms of forest and or vegetation management and its own equipment?
Well, no, we're going to continue to move aggressively, and that's obviously one of the charges to the PUC is to, as part of the legislation, to ensure that they are going to continue to move aggressively. I think it's PG&E's expectation that they will continue to work towards compliance and making the safety improvements and brush removal and resiliency to their equipment as called out in the legislation. I think it's they're still moving forward. They have the resources apparently in place to do that. And we just want to make sure that the regulating agency, the CPUC, is doing all of it, what they're supposed to do and ensuring that there's compliance.
And Assemblyman Holden, what kind of reorganization could PG&E do that would satisfy the state?
Well, the key for us right now is, PG&E has made it very clear that under Chapter 11, they're looking to reorganize, restructure, and come back. And so for us as a legislature, I think our key priorities that we are staying committed to is that the victims of these fires are as unsecured creditors
yeah.
now in the situation, that the courts do everything they can to protect those victims and to maintain stability for the ratepayers. As we continue to go through this process, and my sense is that is going to be the safety component is going to be one of the primary concerns for all parties concerned, but clearly the victims who were at the front end of the line, if you will, prior to the bankruptcy, now find themselves in a less secure position. And so given the fact that the legislature has the ability to give direction to the PUC, we have no standing before the court, but the CPUC does as the lead creditor for the state. And since we can give direction, I think it's going to be incumbent upon us to do so that allows the CPUC to ensure that in the restructuring plan that the wishes and concerns of the legislature get reflected in a prominent way.
And how does that happen, Chris? I mean, how does the state legislature and the California PUC ensure that our rates as consumers are not going to skyrocket?
Well, I think we can, you know, I think what we're trying to do, and we'll have to confer with the CPUC and, you know, bankruptcy counsel and financial analysts ourselves, just so that we understand how we can package it correctly. We want to make sure that we're articulating our concerns in a way that the court can receive them and understand how to evaluate those concerns in line with everything else that's on their table, because we also have environmental policies that we want to see are protected through this process as well. So we would just essentially give some clarity and direction to the CPUC, probably through a resolution that would allow them to understand what the priorities are of the legislature, and then through that process, to the extent possible, and this is, you know, this is not an easier or clear path for any of us to navigate through. It was always my intention for us not to get into bankruptcy, so we were in a stronger position to protect the victims, but, you know, so here we are, so we're playing with the cards we're dealt. We're going to do our best to empower the regulator who will be working directly with the court and with the judge on rates and helping to establish rates and protecting rates for the ratepayers, et cetera, that our wishes of how you get there is going to be for a lot of legalese and a lot of lawyers sort of debating. But what is primary concern is that the victims, to the extent possible, are protected and that the rates are stabilized. And I think that there is adequate resources, as we've heard from the California Independent System Operator, on the system, on the grid, to support PG&E's needs and not put any undue pressure on ratepayers. And so we want to make sure that all of these things that appear to be the case, that they are, that we can influence this process to the extent possible.
Yeah, it is a big bite to take out. We knew this was coming, or at least we had a feeling this was coming, but much work to do in Sacramento. Assemblyman Holden, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That is Assemblyman Chris Holden, and he is also chairman of the Utility and Energy Commission. We'll be checking in with Chris again in short stead to try to see what the progress is in terms of PG&E moving forward for ratepayers and for safety and wildfire prevention, too.